This is Laura Dierdo with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Scott B. Johnson, Chief Strategy Officer at St. Luke's Health Corporation. Scott, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
Laura, it's a pleasure to meet you, and thank you for the opportunity to be interviewed. I'm really excited about it. Becker's is the go-to source for healthcare information and insights. My peers and I all read it everywhere I've been. And while I've got you on the line, I want to say thank you for the tremendous value that you provide all of us.
Well, thank you so much, Scott. And absolutely, I know the team here works really hard to try to make sure we've got the most updated news and information for healthcare executives to really do the important work that you are doing for your communities and workforces. And it's just such an inspiration to be able to connect with so many executives through this podcast and through our broader network. So I'm so glad to have you on the line today, Scott. And, along those lines here, could you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your background. How did you grow up in the healthcare space?
Sure, that's a great question. I started at a very small 72-bed rural hospital in a town of about 4,000 in Etowah, Tennessee, as a director there, a director of PR. And the way I got the job was I was fresh out of college, and I literally bugged the HR director to death until she said, okay, if you will quit calling me about this job, I'll give you 5 minutes with our CEO. I went up for the interview, 5 minutes turned into 2 hours. One thing led to another. And, that was the start of my healthcare journey. And it was an incredibly fun time for a young man to, be in a hospital and learn about a new industry and, meet physicians from a business perspective. And it was a great start to a career that has been extremely fulfilling and enjoyable for me. From there, I ended up going to Tennessee Donor Services in Nashville, worked there for a brief time, did tissue education across the state of Tennessee, was in my car all the time, and then got recruited to a hospital in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, Jenny Stuart Medical Center, where it was a very appealing role. It was a director of marketing. I have a lot of family there, and went to that organization and just really flourished from a marketing perspective. I had a great team that I worked with. We had the good fortune of doing extremely well as far as external awards and accolades and things of that nature, grew market share, which led to me being recruited to Community Health Systems, which is a company based out of Franklin, Tennessee. They have a national presence. Started out doing marketing for them, and it was a really wonderful experience. We developed their marketing template, how we do marketing across each of our facilities. While there, I noticed that the strategic business plan process seemed a bit varied. And so I approached my boss, Debbie Landers, and said, hey, I think this could be done a slightly different way. And she said, if you think it could be done, in a more effective manner, put something together. And so I did, and presented to a bunch of vice presidents that I knew. And next thing I know, I was being charged with helping write the template for the organization, the strategic plan. And, quite frankly, that changed my career, the trajectory of it. I went from being more of a marketing-focused executive to one that focused on strategic planning and business development. I really had a fantastic time at Community Health Systems. Great organization, great people, and, really enjoyed it. Ended up transitioning from there to Christus Health, which is a large Catholic healthcare system. For them, I was a group vice president over Louisiana and CTEX at the Southeast Texas market. Got to do a lot of really interesting and accretive projects for that healthcare organization, whether it was acquiring hospitals. We invested in a heart hospital within a hospital that had a expanded ED. We did the micro hospital aspect for the hub and spoke. It was truly an exciting time, and really enjoyed my time with Christus Health. And then last March, March of 23, I transitioned to St. Luke's here in St. Louis as their chief strategy officer. And that has been a really great move. What appealed to me about this organization is it has exceptional quality and outcomes and patient satisfaction engagement scores. And, you know, I wanted to be part of an organization that, you know, in my opinion, is one of the best in the country for, you know, a small community health system. And be able to come in and bring the insights and learnings that I've had throughout my career and help this organization get to that next level. I mean, it has been a terrific move for me on a professional basis. I love what I do every day here, great people to work with. And then even on a personal standpoint, it's closer to family. So, you know, that's been nice for the holidays. We don't have quite the long trek that we used to have. It has been quite the journey. As I was telling you before the call, I have far exceeded any expectation I had for my career. You know, I've been a very fortunate and blessed person.
Well, that's amazing to hear. And what a great journey in terms of being able to, you know, kind of talk your way into a job initially at the hospital in Tennessee as director of PR and then growing to continue to identify issues and figure out how to do things better within the healthcare space. That's so, so crucial for any organization to have people like that who are willing to take ownership of those challenges and rewrite the strategy and really move forward. So I think that's so fascinating to hear and inspiring as well. From your perspective, what are some of the biggest issues that you're following right now in 2024? How are you really thinking about things and prioritizing initiatives going forward?
Yeah, you know, we're really keeping a close eye on the labor shortage, right? There's a labor and a provider shortage. It's real. It's concerning. You know, we have a lot of retirements that are happening post-COVID. You know, especially in the provider space, we've got physicians where I believe the average age is about 54, and then about 41% or so of those physicians say, hey, I'm going to retire in my 60s. So that's something that we're really keeping a close eye on. You know, the shortages in labor and physicians has created some access issues. So, you know, that's an area that we have a tight rein on. You know, here at St. Luke's, we're really saying, okay, how do we get patients that want to come into our healthcare system in a timely manner? You know, we don't want people to have to wait for their care. And so we're actively working to improve that. You know, you've got escalating costs, which are being driven up, you know, through intense competition and, you know, inflation's a real thing over the last several years. So we're really managing our, operational excellence within the organization, saying, hey, we always have to keep our eye on the ball. Then you add to that, you know, there's some denials and delays from a certain select group of payers for care that truly is appropriate. That's something that has been a real challenge, you know, especially in a healthcare system that doesn't have, you know, a massive resource to be able to engage with these insurers on these claims. So, you know, that's something that is a very real and tangible thing. You've got cyber attacks that are happening almost daily. It's not a matter of if you're going to have a cyber attack these days. It seems to be much more a matter of when you're going to have a cyber attack. So, you know, we're trying to balance all of these different things and keep up with them and really make sure that we position the organization first and foremost to provide the great care that we're known for, but then also to make sure that we are a financially healthy and strong organization moving into the future. And we feel very good about where we're headed as an organization.
Well, that's great to hear. And, you know, absolutely so many things to be thinking about and kind of have a front of mind for you as you're looking at growth, development, and how to build that financially strong organization and sustainably as well. When you think about the future and all these different issues that are affecting healthcare and health systems today, what are you most excited about and what makes you?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. I'll speak first what I'm most excited about that's within my sphere of influence, which is St. Luke's. We recently completed our strategic plan. That was one of the first things that my boss, Andy Bagnell, had us put together. And we branded it One St. Luke's. We wanted a moniker that was memorable. We wanted something that conveyed, hey, we're all in this together, that we can no longer operate in silos. We have to be integrated to benefit our patients. So, you know, we're really thrilled about the progress that we've made. We've set some really ambitious goals and visions for ourselves. You know, we've got pillars that we build on. We've got centers of excellence that we're focused on. And as an organization, you know, we've really been able to pull together a passionate group of people that are committed to doing the right things in the right way and that have a hunger to be the best. And it's really an exciting time from a St. Luke's perspective. And, you know, we'll know that we've really succeeded as an organization when we can transition our patients to true fans of the organization. We want anybody who engages with our organization to say, it's different there. It's incredible there. And we want to make them fans, right? People are fans of sports teams and different companies and organizations. And we help people at a time when they need help the most. And we think there's a real opportunity for us to take what we do today and leverage it to be incredible and better tomorrow. From a larger healthcare landscape, you know, there's a lot to be excited about. You know, agency utilization is down across the board. We've got AI and big data is actually being integrated now to improve care and outcomes in a meaningful way. So that's exciting. You've got the development of more personalized care where you take into account people's unique genetic makeup. I think that's going to be a big thing on the horizon. And even telehealth and remote patient care monitoring, right? They're growing, and we're being able to meet patients where they're at. So that's a very exciting development. And then, two, I think there's a movement to say, okay, how do we take patient from a 360-degree view and meet the entire needs of that individual? You know, if you're the president of the United States, your care is amazing, right? It's integrated, it's coordinated, and everybody works actively to keep him or her healthy. And that's what we want to be able to do for our patients in healthcare. I think we're really close. The way I see it, our job in healthcare really is to anticipate patient needs, to help alleviate their fears so that we can give them hope, right? Because that's really, in my opinion, you have the technical side of healthcare, but real healing comes from a strong belief in your provider. And that's the most beautiful gift that we can give our patients, when they have confidence that that provider, that organization, you know, we have them. We're going to take great care of them. We got this. I think that's something that is extremely exciting. There are also a few things we're a little concerned about, too. I know I mentioned a few earlier, but there's a, you know, major shortage in a couple key specialties. Anesthesia is a challenge. Radiology is a challenge. And then we've got an aging workforce and pending retirements. And then you've got a younger generation who went through COVID, right? And they have a different worldview than maybe the older generation does. It's much more about work-life balance, and that's completely understandable and valid. You know, if there's one thing we all learned in COVID, it's, you know, life is short. You need to spend it in ways that are meaningful and memorable to you. And we want to be able to help that younger generation achieve that. But we also want to say, okay, as we transition our provider and workforce, how do we meet the needs of that younger generation while also ensuring that our patients get the care that they need and we meet their concerns and those kind of things? Then the other thing that I'd like to touch on is, you know, it's really exciting with AI and all the technological advancements that are happening. But, you know, it's really important that at the end of the day, we don't forget that healthcare is really about that one person in front of you. You know, they're scared and they need somebody to say, you know, I see you, kind of like from the movie Avatar, right? I see you, I hear you. And, you know, we need to make sure that the kind of the glitz and the glamour of AI and technology doesn't make us forget that healthcare is always personal. It's always about caring for that one person in front of you. Because I think if we ever lose that intimate side of healthcare, you know, as we have this quest to offer amazing tech, I think we'll have failed miserably, quite frankly, because there is no way that tech can replace personal touch. It can't happen, and we cannot let that be something that develops in our industry.
That's such a great point. And, you know, certainly so important for everyone to remember and think about as technology evolves and AI really solidifies its place in the healthcare space is really that human touch, like you said, and interaction is such an important and vital aspect of healthcare and really a trademark, you know, what healthcare should be, it needs to be to serve patients. And I love, as you were talking about as well, from your strategic plan and thinking through how you can really make sure that you're creating patients into fans of the health system, the organization. I really feel like that's inspiring and something, you know, that the whole organization would have to jump in and buy into. And, you know, when you're making a tagline like that, or really trying to make change within the culture of the organization, even if it's one that, you know, makes a lot of sense intuitively, how do you really tie back, you know, some big changes, whether it's with technology, virtual care, or other initiatives that you're doing that people might bristle at a little bit, you know, to really show that, hey, we want to, this is in service of our desire and mission to serve patients and create accessibility and really, you know, transition them into fans that see that we can do incredible things within St. Luke's.
Yeah, it starts with the providers and the staff. And, you know, as part of our One St. Luke's goal, we've set a vision for our organization that we want to be a nationally recognized healthcare system, one that wins awards, not for the sake of awards, but for the fact of what they mean our patients, right? That, hey, you're getting exceptional care when you come here. And I know, you know, we're a smaller healthcare system. And, you know, you think, wow, that's really kind of an ambitious statement or vision for the organization. But to be honest, timid goals don't move the soul. So we've really set that bar high. And I will say we've got tremendous buy-in from those within our organization. You know, it's one thing to have goals and aspirations, but you really have to have the metrics of success because, you know, the old saying, what is measured moves. And so we have all these different areas of, we say, how are we doing on our big goal as far as making the experience exceptional for patients? How are we doing as far as making the clinical outcomes exceptional for our patients? And those are really being ingrained into the organization. Right now we have 275 plus tactics that tie back into our pillars that we monitor, right? Every month we're saying, hey, how are we doing on this? Are we moving the ball forward? We have listening sessions with our patients. We listen to their concerns. We're trying to take our view of the patient experience from more of a, like a rearview mirror view, like, oh, wow, we did this patient who came here 2 months ago didn't have a great experience, to a front view out the windshield where we say real time, how was the patient in room 1500 doing? Is he or she having a good experience? You know, we're building in some real time metrics and ability for that patient to say, wow, my food was cold, or, hey, you know, this didn't go quite right. And within 5 to 10 minutes, we want to be in that room and we want to make it right for the patient. Anybody who entrusts you with their care deserves the best that we can possibly give them. And so we're really committed to that. And that's what excites me about this organization, St. Luke's, that there's such a passion for people here. And, you know, I've worked in a lot of different places and, you know, with a lot of different healthcare systems and structures. And this is not to speak ill or negative of them at all. But for me and what I was looking for, the people here that really, in my opinion, are just solely focused on that patient and their experience. And man, that could be your mother, that could be your brother, that could be your child, your best friend in the hospital. They get that and they want to say, okay, what do I need to do to make sure that this person knows I got you? You're well cared for. We're going to find out what's going on for you. I know it sounds probably a little corny, Laura, but it really just lights my fire, so to speak, and I'm super excited to be here, and I feel very confident that over the next 2 to 4 years, people are going to start to hear about St. Luke's in St. Louis, right? That we're going to start to do some things that are really innovative, that really are impactful. And, you know, our goals are big, and we want to be able to impact the larger, broader healthcare system and take these ideas and share them across the board so that everybody gets great care. That's kind of where we're at. It's an exciting time and a great time to be here.
Absolutely. I love that mantra, and definitely, you know, excited to see how things grow. Really quick here before we wrap up, as you're talking through all of these transformational changes and really some exciting things going on, I'm wondering what, from your perspective, will the most effective healthcare leaders need in order to be successful over the next 2 to 3 years?
You know, the healthcare landscape has really changed, and it's evolved at an unprecedented pace, really. But what hasn't changed are those timeless qualities that make a leader great. You know, attributes like integrity, empathy, authenticity, character. That's what will make a leader great in both good and bad times. You know, to me, they have to be able to bring that steady hand, a calm demeanor. You know, they have a bright mind, but they're also flexible, and they're able to really work with those people around them and inspire them. And, you know, the analogy I always think of is, okay, if it's tough time in the market, you know, there's all kind of raging storms about you, you want to know from your leader that, hey, our ship is on course, these tough times are temporary, better, brighter days are ahead. You know, don't worry about the fact that the boat is swaying in the swell of this recent business cycle. Got a steady hand at the helm. We're going to hit our destination and where we want to go. So it's almost like we don't have to reinvent leadership. We just have to remember what great leadership is and make sure that we bring that to our healthcare organizations so that the individuals who work there and, you know, practice there can feel confident about the direction and the vision of the organization. And if we do that, I really believe we'll emerge stronger, more resilient, just robust organizations on the back end of some of this kind of turbulent times that we're going through right now. So to me, whatever we do today as a leader, a strong leader, will help us be successful tomorrow. And I would encourage everybody to just rely on those timeless values and qualities that make a leader somebody you would like to follow yourself.
I love that. Scott, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. This has been such a fascinating discussion, and I look forward to connecting with you again soon.
Laura, I really appreciate it and for the opportunity to kind of tell our story. And again, keep up the great work at Becker's. You know, you guys are awesome.